Good job this morning, everybody. Well, good morning, everybody. I'm so glad to see our regular scheduled members, attenders, but it's good to see family here this morning. If you are here this morning and you would not say Harmony is your home, but somebody you love or your family and you're here to see the kiddos, just kind of raise your hand around the auditorium. Let me see how many hands we have up. A number, wow. Great to have you here. Glad to meet all the parents. And I just have been told by 9 different people that their grandchild is the cutest, and I don't know who to believe. So, you, Marlene, it was you, Marlene. Okay, Marlene said it was her, so all right. Well, we continue our series over the Christmas holidays, One of a Kind, and we've been talking about the incredible creation that God did when he made the snowflake. That no two snowflakes are alike. Each snowflake is one of a kind. Because of that, each individual snowflake is a masterpiece, but when you pack them up in a big old stack, a big old pile, they kind of lose their uniqueness. And so what we decided to do this year for Christmas is kind of look at the element of Christmas that makes this holiday, this one of a kind Christmas season so incredible. I started thinking about, of course, as we get ready to approach Christmas with the baby being born, we have got to have this fan on me, that's for sure. There we go. Feels good. Just a second. Let me just take it all in for a second. So the anticipation of a newborn coming into this world, there is just nothing like it. There's excitement. I don't know if you're aware of this, but our nursery at Harmony Baptist is growing one child at a time. There are women in this very room that are great with child. I can see 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 for sure that they're expecting. I know Miss Courtney and Miss Betty. How many weeks or months are between the two of you being? 2 weeks. So Bobby Estep going to have grandchildren within 2 weeks of each other. So if you would, Courtney, get with Betty. See if you can schedule, Courtney, see if you can schedule a time when you and Betty can have the baby on the same day so that it helps out Bobby and Verlita for later on. Just see what you can do, okay? I know I talked with, where'd Sarah Holder go? I saw her a few seconds ago. There's Miss Sarah. Sarah's ready. And then Meredith. Where's Meredith at? Meredith over here. Meredith, I didn't say anything about you here last week, Meredith. She's here. That's Rodney and Cindy Gann's favorite child. Did you catch that, Meredith? Did you see what I did there? Yeah, he's not here to defend himself. But the anticipation of we're having a baby. Now, things have changed since when I was a young lad with my young wife, and we found out that we were pregnant. We just said, for instance, guess what? We're going to have a baby. Oh, that's awesome. But now, it's kind of a trend, and it's not a new trend. It just continues upping, one-upping. It's called a gender reveal. How many of you have been witness to a gender reveal of some kind? So here's the thought. You get both families together. Sometimes the husband and wife do know. Sometimes they don't know. But you have this ceremony. Maybe it's a cake where they cut the cake. And if they cut the cake and they open it up and it's got pink cake, it's a girl. If it's blue, it's got blue. If it's for a boy, or they do balloons, they do everything. But I found a gender reveal I saw this last week that just reminds me of Texas Woods. Okay, so listen. This is called a redneck gender reveal. I want you to watch this. So this young man basically says, we're going to announce. Go ahead, Kyle, play it. I'm going to announce what kind of child, boy or girl, with my truck. So just watch this, okay? So it was good on paper, at least. Or would you agree? So today, what we're going to look at, one of the things that makes this incredible season so important, is that there was a gender or baby reveal found in the book of Matthew and Luke, and we're going to talk about that this morning. Last week we looked at the one of a kind birth announcement. Today we're going to look at one of a kind baby reveal. So if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter number 1. Matthew 1. Now, the story of the Messiah being born, Jesus Christ being born, is found in the book of Matthew and Luke, the first few chapters of each book as it begins to start off. The Matthew chapter 1, I want you to look at that real quick with me. Matthew 1:1 says this: "This is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham." So what happens in Matthew from verse 2 all the way through verse 17, depending on what version of Bible you have, you're going to actually read all the names from the genealogy. Now this is going to be Joseph's genealogy, from Abraham all the way to Joseph. And your Bible might say something like this: so Abraham begat, my version doesn't say that, Abraham begat Jacob, Jacob begat, and it gives you list by list of who was the parent, who was the dad, and it shows the genealogy. It shows all the way back to Abraham what happened. Now, genealogies are important for a number of reasons, especially in the Bible, genealogy is important. If you read Matthew chapter number 1, and you're going to also read in Luke chapter 3, you're going to find a different genealogy after the birth of Christ, where Luke, the author, begins to give a genealogy from Adam all the way to Mary. And that's going to be the genealogy from Mary's side. But genealogies are important because as we look in the Bible, they help confirm the historical reliability of the Bible. Secondly, they were important to determine who could serve in certain roles, because there were certain tribes that could only serve in certain roles. For instance, the Levites would serve in the tabernacle, the tribe of Aaron with the high priest. It also proves many Bible prophecies as we look through the genealogies. That first list in Matthew chapter 1 is kind of interesting because normally we're given men for the genealogy, but in Matthew you're going to find three ladies' names, prominent women in that genealogy. And also it teaches how God uses a wide diversity of individuals through history. But as you begin to read Matthew chapter 1 and you read verse 2, 3, 4, all the way through verse 16, you're going to find out that that's the genealogy, or it's the list, and let me just put it this way, it's the list of all of the natural childbirths that happened throughout the history, from Abraham all the way to now where we're at with Mary and Joseph. But those were the natural childbirths. So when you start off in verse number 18, it transitions by, it says this: now this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. Now all of a sudden we're going to go from a natural childbirth genealogy to we are going to discuss something that's never happened before. It is going to be a supernatural. So let's look at this baby reveal. Look down at verse number 18 of Matthew chapter number 1, just down the page a little bit. It says, "This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit." Now this in Matthew is going to give us the perspective of the story as we see it through Joseph's eyes. But this story is actually listed in Luke. So if you have your finger, put it in Matthew chapter number 1 and turn over to Luke chapter 1, all right? We're going to read a few verses out of Luke chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter number 1, verse 30 says this: "But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end.' 'But how will this be,' Mary asked the angel, 'since I'm a virgin?' The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God.'" Now, as we begin to explore this story, and it's not a new story to many of you, but to some of you, maybe you've never heard this particular angle. We have a young man, Joseph, and a young lady, Mary. And they are, in our terms, they are engaged to be married. It's called a betrothal. It's the time before they actually become married. So at that time, there were many different ways for you to become engaged. One of them was you actually fell in love with somebody. But most of the time, they were prearranged marriages. For instance, somebody from this tribe or this group of people would be arranged to marry somebody from this tribe. So it would be prearranged. "Hey, Joseph, you're getting hooked up with Mary. I hope you like her." And that's the way most marriages happened at that time. Now, in that culture, it was very stricter than it is now. There was absolutely, and I'm going to say this as politely as I can, there were absolutely no physical relations allowed between the two at all until marriage, until the consummation of marriage. And we're going to talk about that specifically, how this takes place, because today I want you to big time picture this. You've heard the term virgin birth, but I want to explore it just a little bit more because it's so much more than a babe being born to a virgin. Mary has been informed in these few verses that her child would come into the world, but there would be no man involved. No man involved. Now, this is would be considered a one-of-a-kind feat. Now, we refer to it as the virgin birth, which means no father, but I want to focus on today the one-of-a-kind virgin birth. So look down and back to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, and I want to just basically take a few verses and explain what these verses mean, and then we'll talk about why this virgin birth is so important. Matthew 1, the second part of verse 18 says, his mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Now, we'll talk why the virgin birth is so important, but I want to take that verse right there. It says, before they came together. Now, we're adults in this morning, which means before they slept together, before they consummated the marriage, before they had sex, basically, before any of that happened, which is necessary for a child to be born, that this is going to be the proclamation. So when we find that, before they came together, it means that it wasn't Joseph. Joseph had no part in this. We read she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit, from the Holy Spirit. Again, we're going to understand that it's from God. Joseph still had no part of this. Look at verse number 19. But because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Now, I want you to picture this. Joseph engaged to Mary. There's been some conversation here that Mary says, guess what? I'm pregnant. You're not the dad, but don't freak out on me. It's God. Yeah, I have a feeling the chuckles in which you just voiced would have been a little bit different in that setting. Excuse me, what? Now, because of this verse, we find out that he was faithful to the law because he understood at that time the only time for a betrothal or for engagement to be cut off is when you could prove unfaithfulness of one of the parties. That was the only way you could get out of this engagement. But he says, I'm going to be faithful to the law. There's just because I should be able to get out of this. But he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. So what he's saying is, I know it wasn't me. It wasn't me. Because if I tell everybody else that it was someone else, that's where the embarrassment comes in. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. If Mary had been unfaithful, the response would have been different. He would have basically said, we're done. We're history. We're gone. But he still has some faith and confidence because he knows it wasn't him. She says it wasn't someone else. So Joseph, in this situation, he was shocked, but it was a reminder again that it wasn't Joseph that made her pregnant. It wasn't Joseph that made her great with child. This verse says that Joseph was just. He was not marrying an unfaithful woman, but he was also kind that he was unwilling to shame her. So look down at verse 20. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So the angel says to her, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. What the angel was doing at that statement, he was saying, Mary is not guilty. Mary is not guilty. You could be released from this marriage, from this engagement, but Mary's not guilty. And again, now what he's saying, it's not another man. It's not Joseph. It's not another man. Who is it? Because what is conceived of her is from the Holy Spirit. Again, from the Holy Spirit means it's not Joseph. So now we're up to five clarifications in this short portion of Scripture that shows that it's a virgin birth. And then verse 21, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet Isaiah. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us, or God is with us. So this is the sixth clarification, because what has happened is now in the book of Isaiah, there's a prophecy and it's fulfilled. The prophecy was given by the prophet Isaiah, which was a clarification from God that this is going to happen. So the prophecy was a design by God. Why? It's not going to be Joseph. It's not going to be Joseph. It's going to be a virgin. Watch. Check this out. Verse 24, then when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. The seventh clarification again, he did not consummate the marriage. Part of the marriage feast was this gigantic celebration, party, meal, dancing. Then the culmination of the marriage celebration would be the party would stop, the bride and the groom would go into the wedding chambers, they would consummate their marriage, they would make it legal, then everybody knew. But he says they did not consummate their marriage, which again says, I'm telling you, it's not Joseph. So when we hear this term, virgin birth, we understand that virgin birth refers to Mary knew no man. It was not Joseph. Have we made that kind of clear? It was not Joseph. The question, then, who was it? Who was it? Well, as you read that portion of Scripture, we're reminded over and over and over again, it's of the Holy Spirit. You see, part of the virgin birth is this understanding. Not only is it a virgin birth, it was a divine conception. It was conceived by the Holy Spirit or by God. That is where this God-man child comes from. Are we clear that it's a divine conception? It is not Joseph. So do you remember the big long line list of names we started to look at in Matthew chapter 1? And trust me, if you want to look at it this afternoon, and if you want to read those names, and if you want to try to pronounce them all correctly, good, Godspeed, go for it. But as you read that list, begat, 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 you're going to find out there's 42 generations that are in that list. 42 generations, and they all had something in common. They were natural childbirths. This guy begat, begat, begat. But they also have something else in common. That from the beginning of time, even before Abraham, it's a word that we don't like talking about very much in our culture. It's the word sin. It's the word sin. We try to do everything we can to sugarcoat the word sin because sin makes us feel uncomfortable. But it's because of sin. So this is going to be the first generation since Abraham, and even before that, that knew no sin, because this child's father was not a man. It was not conceived physically by a man and a woman having a baby. Instead, it was conceived by the Holy Spirit, which means that this supernatural child is going to be the Savior, a unique one of a kind. Romans 5:12 says simply this, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and that one man was Adam, and sin and death through sin, because death is the penalty for sin, and in this way, death came to all people because all have sinned. Now, see, when you come to a church and the pastor gets up in front of you and he says, we've all sinned, some of you that might make you feel uncomfortable, because you would say, first of all, who have you been talking to? That might make you feel uncomfortable. Did she email you? Is that how it works? But something that we all have in common this morning is we've all sinned. We've all sinned. Now, we are incredibly skilled in minimizing our sin, because normally if I say, you sinned, if I pointed my finger and I said, Brad, I know beyond a shadow of a fact that you have sinned, Brad would very quickly probably say, you're right, but you have no idea what Lauren did this week. Let me tell you. Because you can always find somebody else to compare. Have you ever noticed that when somebody wants to bring out our worst qualities? That's one of the very reasons if you're on social media or you watch Entertainment Tonight or you read one of the gossip papers, whatever, you're going to find out that the way you feel better about yourself is you find somebody else that's way worse than what you are. Oh, you think I'm bad? Check out this person, you know. But we've all sinned. Now, I think it's important that we Catch that word, because all have sinned. All have sinned. All right, here's audience participation. Ready? Get a hand free. Get a hand free. You ready? How many of you have sinned? Raise your hand. This morning. Oh, sorry. Yeah, okay. You see, we're all alike, just like that long list in Matthew, in that there is sin in our life. Why? Because of our natural birth. We are attached to sin because we are from the genealogy of Adam. It says, by one man sin entered into the world. That's Adam. We read in Romans 6:23, so I've sinned, so what? Romans 6:23 says this, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, that verse tells us that everybody dies because everybody sins. Kids Sunday, Christmas, why in the world is Pastor talking about death? Because it's a part of our life, this aging process. See, most of us think that we are going to age, and then one day they're going to have a retirement party, they're going to put us in a home, going to give us candles, and then we're going to quietly pass away in our sleep. I'm hoping that's the way it goes for most of us, but we know from the experiences we have in this room that it doesn't always happen that way. From little children to teenagers to young adults, young moms and dads, it is appointed unto man once to die. Why does everybody have to die? These verses in Romans tell us it's because of death, because it is the penalty for sin. But 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, but God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That would be this small little baby that's about to be born from Mary, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, not through any physical relationship. To become right, to become the righteousness of God, probably the easiest way for me to explain that is to have a right standing with God. See, because when you sin once, you no longer have a right standing for God. For all have sinned and fall and come short of the glory of God. Doesn't matter how good you think you would be. You cannot be perfect. You cannot live a sinless life. So that brings us to Romans 5, and I want to read this verse to you. Romans 5, verses 18 and 19 says this. It's the same passage that we read, just as sin entered into the world through one man, and this way death came to all people. It said, consequently, just as one trespass, and that was the sin from Adam, resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act, which will be the carried out purpose of this tiny baby being born to live a sinless life named Jesus Christ for the purpose of becoming a sacrifice for my sins and your sins on the cross. For just as through the disobedience of the one man in verse 19, which is Adam, many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of that one man, which is Jesus, many would be made righteous. So when we hear this whole sin process, how that through natural birth we inherit the nature of sin, that we're all sinners, until this day when this child was conceived by the Holy Spirit. You see, in this little speech that the angel, when he spoke to Joseph in this dream, he said this, and we read it earlier, but I want to read it for you again, Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Talking about Mary, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. Sins. You see, right now, the sins that you carry, the sins that you commit, the sins that you hide, the ones that you cover up, the sins that nobody else, you don't talk about, you minimize because you compare, those are the sins that take us to death. But this verse says that this baby Jesus will save his people from their sins. That was this very child who was born that day through a virgin birth. Why would his sacrifice be special? Because he was giving his life for sinners, but he had not sinned himself. He was substituting himself to die for you and me. Now, I've been going to church all my life. Many of you, this is brand news. You've never heard this before. Wow, I've never heard it explained that way. Some of you, pastor, tell me something I don't know. I've heard that all my life. Then I think what happens is, just like one snowflake falls and it's beautiful, but when you get such a big pile, it loses its beauty. It's just, you can't see the crystallization of each flake. I think what happens sometimes, we do the exact same thing with our life in Christ. That maybe we forget what it was like to be saved from our own sins, which is really the purpose of Christmas. You do realize the church celebrates Christmas and Easter. Christmas is the birth of the Savior. Easter is the burial, death, burial, and resurrection of the Savior. Two big holidays. So when we talk about Christmas, in order for the Easter to happen, the birth has to happen, which is why this virgin birth is so important. So I need to be saved from my sins. You need to be saved from your sins. We all need to be saved from our sins. You see, in this day and age, it's easy for people to come to church Sunday after Sunday and have an identification with the church, have a casual relationship with the God, but completely miss the point that you have to ask for forgiveness from God for your sins. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says this: if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him, Jesus, from the dead, you will be saved from your sins. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and you are saved. And here in verse 13 is this incredible promise: everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved from their sins. You see, I would like to be the type of pastor that invites you into the church, shows a picture of a redneck baby gender reveal, can make you chuckle a little bit, make you feel good about yourself, but here's the bottom line. The bottom line is that there is sin that you've committed, that you're in. Maybe it's been forgiven or not, but we all have sin, and the only payment for that sin is the sacrifice on the cross that came to us from a baby on Christmas. See, that's a one-of-a-kind opportunity. Before, I've had people in my office, and I've sat there, and I've told them basically this exact same story. Let me tell you what God did for you. He sent his son into the world for you, for you. And they would look at me. I remember one gentleman in particular said, well, that sounds good, but you got anything else? No, I don't. I don't. You see, this is the sad fact that I'm very much aware of, that many of you here this morning, as the Holy Spirit begins to work on your life, you will acknowledge that you have sinned. You know you've sinned. Seriously. You know. You might be in denial about the impact or the capacity, but there's something in you that says, if I ask the question, are you a sinner? You'd do this. You'd go, well, yeah, that's me, you know. But what you do from that point on determines your eternal perspective. It does. I wish I could say, if you'll just come back next Sunday and you could do that 15 times in a row, we'll get you into heaven. But it doesn't work that way. See, the only way that you could be saved from your sins is to declare with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Then you'll be saved from your sins. I love seeing a full room. I love seeing relatives. I love seeing guests. But the most important thing in this world is your acceptance of Jesus Christ, that this virgin birth took place. And there was a child born that was conceived of the Holy Spirit through this sweet little girl, Mary. This child then grew up with two natures. He was God and he was man. But both of them, in one essence, they worked hand in hand. It was incredible when you read the stories in the New Testament of how Jesus was just who he was, But he did not exalt himself. He did not lower himself. He didn't say, oops, didn't mean to do that. It was God, because he understood that it was going to be his sacrifice on the cross. You see, this story is a one-of-a-kind story. It was a story of a one-of-a-kind mom giving birth to a one-of-a-kind baby, which then led to a one-of-a-kind sacrifice. But here's the neat thing. There's a one-of-a-kind promise. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it's not a rubber stamp that says, click, you're out of hell, next. It's putting your faith and trust and confidence that God is who he says he is. That Jesus is who he says he is. That he did what he did for you and me. So when you look at the entire picture, God loved you so much that he gave. That he gave. I enjoy Christmas morning. As I get older, Christmas changes for me. We have four boys and now two beautiful daughter-in-laws. But I remember a time in our life when that tree was lit downstairs and we told the kids, we opened gifts on Christmas morning is when we open our gifts. And we said, we want you to know that Santa Claus is coming, but Santa and Mom and Dad, we have kind of an arrangement. So the gifts you're going to have are from Santa and Dad and Mom. But we've also made this other arrangement. Santa ain't coming until 7 a.m., okay? If Santa sees you downstairs peeking, Santa's going home and taking his gifts with him, okay? So we would wake up on that morning and we would go to the room. And as the kids got older, we'd hear them in the other room.
Mom, Dad, are you awake yet?
And Renee, we'd wake up in bed and we'd just look at each other. Pretend like you don't hear them. And we had a wall that we shared with one of the kids, and we'd hear this. So we would get up, and then we would walk out, and we would get all the kids, and they would come into the room, and the lights would be just right, and the gifts would all be there around. And it was such an exciting time. But we would always remind our kids that the reason that those gifts are there is not because this sweaty man in the mall said he wanted to give you some gifts. These gifts are a result of me and your mom's love for you, which is why we supply these gifts for you. Now, we understand that, especially if you're a parent. Many of you parents right now are freaking out because the thing that your child wants you can't find anywhere, and Amazon can't get it to you in 2 days, and you're trying to figure out if it ships from Hong Kong in time, and oh my goodness, and what happens if I get the wrong color? Or maybe like what I did 1 year, I gave my son Kyle the video game that he wanted. The only problem was it was last year's video game, and when he opened his gift, he went, oh, it's the wrong one. But here's the good news. The good news is simply this, that this gift that God has given you was put in place because the Holy Spirit conceived a child through this Mary. Then through this virgin birth, she gave birth to, the Bible says, a Savior. A Savior. Newsflash, if you're a sinner, you need saving. That's the Savior. You see, this one-of-a-kind gift given to you and I, it won't happen again. This was the substitute. It was done once and for all. There will come a time in your life where you will not get a second chance, and you will stand before God, and he'll say, did you get saved, or did you resist being saved? And it all starts with you acknowledging your sins. One-of-a-kind mom, one-of-a-kind baby, one-of-a-kind sacrifice. But what an incredible one-of-a-kind promise. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. This morning, I want to give you an opportunity to respond. I don't know what denomination of faith you've come from. I don't know what upbringing you've come with. But this is what I'd like to do this morning. As our musicians begin to play, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand. And after I do that, I'm going to give you just a brief opportunity to say, Brian, I need saving. I need someone to save me from my sins. I don't know how it works. I don't know how the prayer is to be said. I don't know the formality of it. I just know that I need saving. And I'm going to give you a chance to come down front. We'll have some workers down here that can pray with you. They can talk with you. They can answer any questions you might have. Because I promise you, the most important decision that could be in your life right now will not be, I came to see the kids sing at Harmony Baptist Church on December 9th, 2018. But it might be the fact that I heard that Jesus Christ was born for my sins on December 9th, 2018, and I need saved. Will you stand with me this morning for a verse of invitation? Everybody standing.